Happy New Year, everybody. It's the Weird Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean, and it feels like it's a repeat. It is now Year of the Pig, Danny. The Chinese New Year.
Yes. Yes, it is. You have to celebrate by, having some pulled pork or bacon or something, right?
I don't know if that's in the original tradition, but I'm okay with that.
You know, there's that place in Riverside, the Salted Pig, where they have pig pork products and everything, including the desserts.
I mean, they say the candy bacon is magical, so I could only imagine what it would do.
Well, I mean, it's combining bacon and brown sugar, so where can you go wrong, right?
That's a fair point. It's hard to say what it could ruin. I mean, I could just imagine a little bit of bacon on top of the ice cream, you know, anything.
Right. I mean, it's more peanut butter chocolate, less David Bowie Mick Jagger.
Exactly. I read my Zodiac from one article because the internet doesn't lie to me, and it says it's a great year for tigers to start a new romance. So I guess cat's out of the bag. I'm gonna have, and it says to go date a pig, so now I gotta go look for a pig.
Well, I guess Deidre will be happy that you don't consider her that.
I mean, if we're gonna talk about poor phrasing, I mean, she is a cock.
Yes. that makes sense for you, Sean.
And the world just gets a little bit better.
Exactly.
Yes. I thought it was. I always think it's like the most hilarious one because like it'll just in some uncensored calendars it says cock. Like it doesn't. Like they don't care. Like the don't give a fuck is escalated very high on some calendars.
Yeah, when I was at the Final Fantasy Fan Fest 2 years ago for Final Fantasy 14, it was coming up on the Year of the Cock. And so, like, the 13-year-old children that grown men are, all of the creators and stuff were up there just giggling about the Year of the Cock and all the different things that they had in their presentation, alluring to both chickens and the Year.
Of the Cock?
Yes, of the Cock.
Good times.
But then again, you know, according to feminists, isn't every year the year of the cock?
Supposedly. What a dick animal.
Exactly.
Why is it always about the cock?
Why is it always got to be about the cock? Why do men have to ruin everything?
I don't know.
Yeah, there was somebody posted a thing on Twitter about the, you know, calling women cunts. And somebody posted a thing about, like, how dare you refer to a woman as part of her anatomy? Mm-hmm. And then Stephen Colbert, when he had his show on Comedy Central, his reply was, yeah, that dick should quit being such an asshole.
That's very funny. That's pretty funny.
I thought so. It's one of my favorite jokes of his.
No, it's a pretty solid one. Talking about salty treats, Danny, it was a very salty week. I don't know who is more salty between the SpongeBob fans, people that like corn, and the state of Louisiana.
Right. Like, Louisiana was so salty that the front page of their sports section was just blank white. And it's like, nope, no news today.
Nope.
Written in font on that white page.
Yeah, somebody posted one of the NFL reporters, that the state of Louisiana had its record, the least amount of views for a Super Bowl ever in history.
Which, you know, I know we're not a sports ball show, but...
But we do love pettiness.
Well, and this is the Super Bowl we're talking... Oh, I don't even know how to talk about that. Like, I think we have to be like everybody else and come up with, like, clever ways to, like... Say the big game.
The big game. The big dick.
The superb owl game. Because everyone loves owls that are very superb, right?
Yes, exactly.
But in that Rams-Saints game, first of all, they blew like a 13-point lead. And then there was at least two pretty atrocious face mask calls and a delay of game call they got away with during the game. So at some point, the universe has to balance each other out, and you got away with quite a few things. It balanced itself out pretty big time at the end.
Fair enough.
Plus, when it went into overtime, they got the ball first.
Ooh. Damn, Danny putting the beat down on Saint fans.
Just saying, bro. Just saying, bro. It's Mardi Gras, man. They're going to get drunk and look at boobies and forget about it soon anyways. It's okay.
Fair enough.
But yeah, man. So you mentioned you had alluded to the halftime show where the internet rallied to get a song from SpongeBob SquarePants played during the halftime show.
Mm-hmm. There was a big petition when the creator of SpongeBob passed away last year that they would do this. And a bunch of people, like, signed the fake, you know, it's an internet petition. So it's really hard to determine, like, how many, like, should we take it really serious or not? Because, you know, it's just the internet. But it was, like, teased, like, they were going to do something. So I think everybody got, like, their hype super amped up, ready to go. And then, like, I watched, like, the thing, and I was like, wow, I had no expectations, and yet I'm still disappointed.
Which can be said about the whole game itself.
I didn't even watch it. I was too busy cowboying it up. Pew, pew! Pew, pew!
Were you riding cowboy style, huh? Did you at least cuddle after you were done?
Nope. I just went on to the next town and committed more crimes and rode
you rode some more men, huh?
Something like that. I don't think that's the point of that game, but we'll let it go.
For another topic, yes. So I actually watched the game because I was at somebody's house that wasn't mine, so I had to cancel my usual Super Bowl tradition of doing my taxes on Super Bowl Sunday.
What do you just TurboTax that shit?
TaxAct.com.
Oh boy.
Sponsor us, man. Sponsor us every year for like
Notice me,
years,
senpai. Notice me.
Yes. But yeah, Tax Act. So I usually like do my taxes during the Super Bowl, so at least I have something to do. Mm. But yeah, the game sucked. And then the halftime show sucked even more because the thing that pissed the internet off even more was they kind of teased the song.
Yeah.
They like did the opening like 5 seconds of the song and then moved on. So it left all of the SpongeBob fans feeling like my wife.
Always disappointed.
No, just like expecting some excitement, then 5 seconds later it's over and moved on.
Fair enough. Poor everybody. Poor internet. Poor Danny's wife.
Poor Danny's wife. Poor friend of the show, man thing. And Sean's parents. Yeah, when I hung out with your mom in Santa Barbara, she was like, we were talking and stuff, and she was like, yeah, there's sometimes I'm listening. I don't know if I should be listening. I should actually listen to your guys' show sometimes.
I mean, somebody has to, though.
I mean,
if there was, like, zero downloads, well, never mind. If there was only one download, because I know about your cheat download still. Are you still doing the cheat download?
It's not a cheat if everybody else does it.
Gotcha. So when we get down to only one download, I'm canceling the show, so.
But then what will I have to, like, pretend to listen to?
I don't know. Make up something else.
So, you know, for all the time, all the things we've said in the past that were inappropriate for your fragile little ears, Sean's mom, we're sorry. And we'll just have to start, we'll just have to preface everything either before or after with, sorry, Sean's mom.
Gotcha. Yeah, exactly. That'd be the start and the ending of the new show.
Yes.
This is a weird old show. Sorry, Mom.
Yes. That'll be our Mother's Day special. It's just going to be a 30-second show of just apologizing. And that's it.
I'm glad to see that we're better prepared for the Mother's Day episode than our 100th episode.
Exactly. Is that today?
No, not yet. We still got a few more weeks.
Okay, well, we have time to prepare. For nothing, but still, we can prepare.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, so, like, the halftime show, man, I was talking about it with my brother-in-law before the game, and yep. He was kind of talking about how it's kind of weird how they'll just, like, throw, like, two random artists up there to try to get, make everybody happy, but at the same time, nobody's happy.
True.
And then the lead singer, Maroon 5, who did promise that they were going to play the SpongeBob song. Well, not promise, but told the internet that he would play the SpongeBob song.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the memes going around that, like, even he realized how shitty the halftime show was, so he took off his shirt to make it, to try to at least appease the women.
Maybe he promised something, and then they came back to him and said, like, bro, we can't fucking do that. Like, what'd you just fucking do? And then he was like, like, we gotta do something. And then they're like, here, we'll pay Nickelodeon, like, you know, $2,000 for this. That's it.
Right. Well, to add insult to injury, the Dallas Stars, during one of their intermissions, actually played the full song.
Yeah, it was the weekend before, like the Friday before the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They had it. I watched it. It was pretty cool. I mean, it was exactly what I expected it to be for the Super Bowl, though.
Right. I mean, they even did, like, they filmed it and they edited it to where instead of the crowd reactions of the SpongeBob crowd, mm-hmm. they had just had random stock footage of Dallas Star fans, like, dancing and reacting to things.
Yeah, exactly.
It was pretty well made. But, yeah.
I mean, I really enjoyed it. I think everybody was, I think in my group chat was, like, laughing about it, how everyone's like, well, I can't hate the Stars that much anymore.
Yeah, I saw it on a Reddit thread, and people were like, wow, I guess I'm now a hockey fan.
Exactly.
And they're giving the rules of, like, all right, so you boo the commissioner, you boo the Detroit Red Wings, and you boo the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you're good.
Boo, so I was like, sir.
But I'm a
boo.
Penguins fan, and it's like, do you boo them?
Did you boo
He's like, yeah, sometimes, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other reason people watch the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl, the big game, the commercials.
Oh, that is true. I didn't get to see any commercials, but I've been told I didn't miss anything, so I'm still had no expectations, and I'm still disappointed.
Exactly. Like, this year was the worst. Like, even, like, they've gotten progressively worse, because usually somebody will bust out some sort of big, like, a celebrity, like, a cameo or something.
Mm-hmm.
The two best commercials that were on were official NFL commercials.
Okay.
One was talking about this assistant coach that got hit by a drunk driver and almost died, so they had, like, a surprise reunion with the first responders that saved his life.
Uh-huh.
So that was a little, like, that was the tear-jerker one. And then they had the funny one with a reunion of all the NFL, like, older players and Hall of Famers and stuff at a wedding, just running around with the bouquet and just destroying the reception. But in this day and age with YouTube, the beauty of it is that you actually don't have to watch the Super Bowl anymore if you just want to watch the commercials, because literally as soon as the game's over, or at least by the next morning, at the absolute latest, mm-hmm. you can just go on YouTube and find the best Super Bowl commercial supercut and just spend about 5-10 minutes watching that instead of sitting through the whole game.
Exactly. That's the nice thing, is, like, now you can just go back and watch it. Like, you don't have to stick around and wait.
Yeah.
Like some kind of peasant.
Yeah. You don't have to watch the shitty game. You can watch it while you're taking a shit. But the Bud Light commercials actually were pretty good. They rode super hard on the whole adding the ingredients to their beer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it started off at the, you know, the castle, and the, you know, someone's like, we got a delivery, and the king's like, this is corn syrup. We don't use corn syrup, but mm-hmm. Miller Lite does. We'll take it to them. And so it was like the whole commercial was like them bringing the corn syrup to, like, Miller Lite and Coors Light to bring it to give it to them.
Exactly.
And then it ended, and they're back at the king castle, and they're getting ready to do a joust with the Bud Knight,
uh-huh.
Bud Light Bud Knight. And then it turned into, like, some sort of Game of Thrones tie-in commercial
where there was awkward sex between siblings.
I don't know if I'd call it awkward.
It wasn't very awkward in the show.
But no sex between siblings. They just killed off the Bud Knight.
Oh, gotcha.
And with a dragon.
Oh, terrible. Just yes. Terrible.
So. Which officially makes more dragons. Like, it took less time for a dragon to show up in a Bud Light commercial than it did on Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, they don't have anything. I mean, it's like, you know, instead of winter is coming, it's like rice is coming. Yes. Rice and corn syrup is coming.
And at least Game of Thrones had boobs to hold you over while you're waiting for the dragons to show up.
True. That is very true.
So yeah. There's no boobs in the Bud Light commercial.
No. No, it was pretty funny because I've heard there's been a lot of backlash with like the corn companies are like, bro, like we live down the street from you, like why are you smashing us into the ground? I thought we were cool.
And they're like, don't you read the ingredients? We don't even use you. We use rice.
Fuck corn syrup. It's all about rice.
Rice. And we don't even use like corn, like solid corn or powdered corn or any other form of corn. We use rice. Go credit the rice farmers, because we love them, not you.
How do we make beer even more light? Just put sugar in it. Don't even put any malt in it.
Exactly.
Just water and corn syrup and yeast. Fuck the malt.
Isn't that like Miller Lite?
It might be. Man, or Coors Light? I just broke the secret recipe.
Yes, you've, was it reverse engineered their recipe? There's a hit contract being put out on your head right now by the brewers at those breweries.
It was good. It was fun knowing everybody. You know, I'm taking one for the team. Hopefully this information could get out there to help shut down the man.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of shutting down the man, dude, we lost another DC actor officially.
Oh,
Ben Affleck is out as
no,
Batman.
No, don't. Why'd you do this to me?
Martha!
Martha!
You know what? I have an unpopular opinion about that scene, Sean.
What?
That scene doesn't bother me at all.
It doesn't?
The same way that Colt doesn't bother Elsa.
Did he say why he's leaving? Or why they fired him? Or
I don't know. They didn't really necessarily say, but like they tweeted they got a new director and he basically retweeted that and his comment on there was, yeah, you know, best of luck with the new direction. You know, wish you nothing but the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes. So, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted.
You know, Danny has some really good news, but I just want to keep talking about Ben Affleck because Ben Affleck wasn't the problem in Justice League.
Just like he wasn't the problem in Daredevil.
It's everything else.
Right. He just picks shitty movies, unless he directs them.
He just gets, he has a bad agent. His agent is just terrible at selling these movies.
Yeah, but he should just write and direct all of his movies, because that's where he seems to do his best, with like The Town and Argo and Good Will Hunting.
He just wants to be one superhero and have it be good, okay? That's his only ask.
Yes, but that Martha scene, everyone makes fun of that, but to me, that felt very much like it would come straight out of the scene of a comic book.
True.
Because that's kind of how they stop fighting in the comics. They're like, hey, why are we fighting? I don't know. Let's team up and become best friends. Cool. Now we're best friends.
Maybe maybe Martha is the same woman.
Maybe.
Mind blown. Maybe they're actually brothers.
But it is weird that like whoever created the characters did give their moms the same name. That was lazy writing on like the DC comic book artist's part.
Because Batman and Superman were around the same time, so. Were they the same? What, they weren't created by the same people, though.
No, they weren't.
But it happens, though.
Right. Like I think that was kind of like almost them, like a little tip of the head, the hat or whatever, to the fact that they both have the same mom's name, even though they were created by two different people.
Yeah. I mean,
supposedly.
It's like the meme, the two hands go together to, like, embrace. It's like Batman, Superman, and their hands just say Martha.
Yes! the two rivals teaming up over a joint cause, and the joint cause is Martha.
Oh, man.
So it'll be interesting to see. They haven't named an actor, so of course the internet is throwing out all these names, and one of them is the guy, actor that plays Jigsaw on the Netflix Daredevil show. I mean, not Daredevil, Punisher show.
Gotcha.
To the point where they were, like, already photoshopping his head over Ben Affleck's head in the Bat costume.
Oh, Jesus. Yes. Let's not do that, please.
No. And so, I mean, that's to the point where, like, even if he doesn't get cast, whoever is going to be cast will piss those people off because it's not the one they wanted. Their little fan fiction porn didn't come true.
It's not my Batman.
Yeah, that's not my Batman. You didn't let me vote on it.
It's our Batman, man. You can't clown on him.
No, so, and the rumor was that originally also that he was going to do Batman Year One story from the comics.
Hmm.
Where they relaunched him, but all the other Bat family existed. So that they could have 52 books to sell for their 52 number that DC mm-hmm. seems to love some reason.
Fair enough.
Like, I'm sure the creative team at DC is like, why the fuck couldn't they pick a smaller number?
It's because there's 52 weeks in a year. They just want to count down the new year. Like, hey, when are we going to relaunch the series? At book after book 52, once a year.
Right, well, they did...
I think it was a strategy, calendar strategy for them.
Exactly. Well, they did that one series where they, like Countdown to Infinite Crisis that was, like, 52 issues that came out weekly, and then the next year was Infinite Crisis where they... 52 issues that still came out every week.
Yeah, that's just... It's going to be a no for me, bro.
I know, man. That's why I don't read DC anymore. They canceled Batwoman and Huntress books.
It's like when I want to get committed to a book, I'm like, is there an ending? Is there a plan to stop it? No, then I don't want to be a part of this journey.
For me, it's more a thing of like, do I have to buy other books to understand what's going on in here?
That's fair. Can I just get one story? Why do I have to know three different stories to understand the original story I was trying to read?
Right, I don't want to buy, like, Animal Man and whatever other, what's it, your favorite? Oh, he's Marvel anyways, but, you know, for Marvel it fits in with the whole, it's the same thing. It's like, why do I gotta buy Moon Knight? Nobody wants to buy Moon Knight.
Who the fuck is Moon Knight?
He's like retarded Batman.
Except he's not rich.
Yeah, but he doesn't understand that white stands out at night. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if they actually cast somebody that people are happy about, because people also seem to forget that as much as they talk about Michael Keaton being the ultimate Batman actor, when he was cast, people were pissed. They're like, oh, Mr. Mom's playing Batman? Is he going to change the Joker's diaper?
Oh, wow.
And then when Heath Ledger was cast as which people now claim to be their favorite Joker of all time.
Yeah.
Coming straight off Brokeback Mountain, it's like, oh, so are Batman and the Joker going to have butt sex now?
Mm.
This is a horrible casting. Isn't he that guy from that teen movie and that night movie where they played Queen songs even though Queen wasn't around in the medieval era?
Dude, that is the most inaccurate night movie that I love, and I have even, you could, any, like, anything that you say bad about that movie, I embrace and accept it because it's still ridiculously entertaining to watch.
No, I agree with you. I love that. I got into it with somebody because they're like, yeah, I tried to watch the movie and they started doing We Will Rock You, and I'm like, and when are you going to tell me something that was bad about the movie? I'm like, no, that's it. And I'm like, so what you're saying is you don't like fun, and we probably shouldn't be friends anymore.
Yes, because, you know, the story of a little kid that faked being a noble knight, you know, really succeeded back then.
Right. And then, you know, even like the most over the top stuff, like they just happened to randomly run into Jeffrey Chaucer.
Yeah.
Who was like, was writing the tale of what's going on. And then they can't afford armor. So they get the one female blacksmith who, her symbol happens to be the Nike swoosh.
The rest of that isn't historically accurate, but yeah, the queen soundtrack is the thing that triggers you.
Well, basically the person I was gotten with was like, they gave up on the movie as soon as they started hearing We Will Rock You. It's like, yeah, I knew the movie was going to be horrible. And I'm like, dude, I got goosebumps and I knew the movie would be amazing. By the way, if you're unsure, the name of the movie is The Knight's Tale.
That is true.
It has, was it Paul Bettany, Heath Ledger, I forgot her name, Shannon Sosterman, that's her name, that played the queen.
Got you.
Oh, she was hot, and then she disappeared.
Oh, yeah, she did. And then, our broski from, what's it called? The Blackjack Army. Why am I forgetting it? Firefly series.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The actor that played Wash, Alan Tudyk.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Yes. Yeah, there was like a bunch of like random people in that movie.
Yeah, that have gone on to other things. But yeah, it's a ridiculous over-the-top joyride.
Yeah, it is.
as long as you don't expect, you know, reality or accuracy, other than maybe the jousting scenes.
True.
Because even the guy that played the king was somebody. I just can't remember who it was. And I'm too bad if we had the access to the internet somewhere. I'm sure we could figure it out, but nope. No luck here.
I mean, you're asking for me to put in extra effort for this show. I don't know what you're expecting.
No follow-up questions.
I thought we had the strict rule of no follow-up questions.
Yes, exactly. So, I ended up going to two wrestling shows in 2 days, Sean.
Man, Danny, your commitment to overgrown beef chunks wearing little spandex is very, that commitment is very high.
Actually, the way I sell it to people is, who wants to come watch large sweaty men hugging with me? And for some reason, people don't jump at that opportunity as quick as I thought they would.
True. It happens though, man. It happens.
But so I went to one. The first night was New Japan Wrestling had a 3-city tour in North America. They're trying to expand their presence out here, and they're even opening a training center in Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
And we bought the tickets in December, and like a couple days, like a week or so before the show, they released the matches and the lineup. And lo and behold, there were no Japanese wrestlers wrestling at the event.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And people were like, immediately, of course, the internet reacted calmly and rationally, right?
I'm pretty sure they were like, maybe it costs a lot of money to fly them over and that they're only doing 3 shows and they're trying to make a more of an American team with their name.
No, it was more along the lines of they're doing, because there was also 3 shows going on in Japan that were right around, like within it, like it was like one day Japan, one day here, one day Japan. So basically they're like, of course they didn't send any of the Japanese talent over, but they were keeping them there for their shows in Japan.
Bastards.
You know, and it's like, right. And so you had some people like, oh man, this lineup looks pretty awesome. I've always wanted to see these guys. But the problem is a lot of the guys that wrestled there, I'd already seen up close and personal at Bar Wrestling.
Gotcha.
And so where we sat, man, we were like in the balcony, standing room only seats. There was nowhere to see the whole ring. Like I saw maybe like a little more than 3/4 of the ring. And of course, all of the wrestlers wrestled in the part of the ring that we couldn't see.
That's pretty frustrating.
For the people on the floor. But after they announced the lineup and everyone like raged, New Japan kind of came out and said, it's not our fault, blame Trump. Because they couldn't get visas for the wrestlers because of the government shutdown.
Wow. Wait a minute. They couldn't get... So that doesn't make any sense. Like, why couldn't they get... I mean, I must be like looking at this totally incorrectly right now. So why does the visa thing have anything to do with it? Isn't that like something you get at your own country? Or no, you get it. They're talking about the working visa.
The working visa.
Oh, okay. We're back on track.
Yes. Passport. Like, well, they get passport. A passport in their country, but and they can come visit. But if they want to work, they have to.
Yeah, it's technically working. No, that makes sense.
Well, not technically. They're doing a job. They're doing a thing, and they're getting paid for it. So it's literally working, not figuratively or technically. Literally.
I think it's technically they're working. Technically.
It's just a loophole.
they get paid in tips. Okay. There's no paycheck. Just the tip. There's no W-2 at the end of the year.
When they're hugging, just the tip, huh?
Hey, so each their own, man. Each their own.
Exactly. So, like, I guess they have some of the guys that were training out here were able to wrestle. They call them the Young Lions, and they have just a generic New Japan song, and like they wear black trunks, and basically it's like the old school tradition where they have to like help set up the ring and clean up and take down the ring at the end of the night as part of their training.
Wow.
And then once they complete their training, basically they're kicked out of they're kicked out. And then told to, like, come back after a year of working abroad. And then maybe they'll get to hire back with New Japan.
Oh, so, like, go work with other companies for a year?
Yes.
Wow.
So, as much as I could, as what I could see, it was a pretty fun night, though. They came out at the beginning, and the guy that was running the Los Angeles Dojo came out in his best English, apologized for the Japanese wrestlers not being there. And then at the end of the night, They always have one wrestler. It's usually Kenny Omega from Bullet Club, but his contract, he wasn't there because he's not Japanese, but he's Canadian. So I don't know. He couldn't get a visa, I guess, or they didn't plan on him being there because his contract expired at the end of the month.
Hmm.
But then, so they have the new champion. His name is Juice Robinson. And so, like, when he punches people in the face, the crowd chants, "Juice, juice, juice," as he punches them in the face. But so he at the end also apologized, and it's like, all right, dude, no, seriously, we get it. And as they were apologizing, the crowd started chanting, "Not your fault, not your fault." But yeah, it was a fun night there. And then the next night, went to Baldwin Park for bar wrestling, where I got to see actually one of the guys that wrestled the night before, but I was like 10 feet away from him. It was
you could smell the sweat.
I could smell the sweat. Yes. But one thing, like, and I kind of figured, but I didn't know officially, but I saw this thing with Joey Ryan, and he was talking about part of the reason why he made bar wrestling was to give women wrestlers, like, legit matches in the independent world. Because usually they have them just kind of come out as gimmicks or whatever, or there's not really any women for them to wrestle. So he kind of made bar wrestling to, because, you know, he had a tag team partner who's now moved up to where she's trying to get into WWE through their NXT program. Mm-hmm. Candice LeRae, and then his wife, she's a professional wrestler, and so he, I guess, understands the plight of the female wrestler. Even if he isn't one, he can at least have empathy towards them. So he made bar wrestling, and so like they had a couple mixed tag team matches, and at the end of the night, this one wrestler, Tessa Blanchard, who's kind of moving up in the world, they just kind of gave a little speech about her having to deal with the bullshit of being a woman in wrestling. And you know, the tag team that she was up against is known as the Lucha Brothers. And they're like, I guess, recognized as one of the top three tag teams in the world. And so they kind of gave her credit. And of course, like a woman, she started crying.
Jeez.
No, but it was actually really touching. It was pretty cool to see. And like the whole match, they're just like calling each other like names and names and cursing each other out in Spanish. And at the end, you know, the two brothers won, and they were holding the Mexican flag, and then they gave her one of the corners and told her that she, you know, that she was Mexican too. And so so it was pretty cool.
Nice.
And I guess, I don't know if it's because it's not 100 degrees out or because All Elite Wrestling went to the one 2 weeks before, but the crowd was like, it was packed and the crowd was into it. So that's fun. It's always fun to just kind of watch something with a group and get involved as opposed to just standing there like, you know, watching TV.
No, I got you. That makes sense.
But then Saturday, I finally got a chance to go to a museum I've been wanting to go to, Sean.
You went to a museum to learn things?
I not necessarily learn, but to look at pretty things.
What were you There's looking at?
Automobiles.
Oh, I was going to go with the Hente Museum, but I guess you classed it up a little bit this weekend.
Right, and there's actually that one hentai game company, Nutaku Games. They actually had a hentai as art exhibit in New York City for a while last year.
I believe that. That seems to be a thing.
Yeah, one of the pieces was just a giant purple dildo.
fair enough.
I've been wanting to go for a while, and I was looking around, and I saw that they had this exhibit on the Japanese design in cars, like, through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going away on the 10th of February, but then they're going to have, you know, like, a rotating thing. And so I went to check it out, and they had cars, like, the early Hondas that were super tiny from, like, the 60s and stuff.
Yeah.
When they had, like, 45 horsepower.
Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, you go in, it's, like, $16 to get in. And then they tell you just go to like immediate, like right away, go to the top floor and then work your way back down. So that's kind of how the flow is designed.
Okay. That makes sense. That's a pretty good design. Then, you know, you take the elevator to the top and then just kind of slowly walk your way down.
Yeah. And so they have like in the top floor, they had like their set room. And one of the things they have in there is cars from movies. And so they have one of the cars they have in there is, one of the DeLoreans they used in the filming of Back to the Future that was sitting in on the lot of Universal Studios, and it got like basically fell apart.
Mm.
And so they showed like a little vignette of it being remodeled and restored.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I bet it was just like sitting there and just rusting out.
Yeah, it was rusting out, and people were able to come like go up to it and like take souvenirs.
Oh, geez.
So, like, the flux capacitor was gone and a bunch of other pieces were missing. So they had to, like, remake or reacquire parts even for the car.
Hmm. What bastards.
So, right. And so they had, like, the Batmobile from the Tim Burton Batmobile. They had Herbie the Love Bug from Herbie Fully Loaded was supposed to be there, but I guess they've removed it to a different facility. They had one of the cars from Fast and the Furious.
I'm not surprised on that one. I thought that was going to be the first car you talked about.
No, and actually, like, it's kind of funny. Like, the car that they had there is, like, the one car that probably, like, super low on the list of cars that I would have expected to be there. It's like, did you lose the lottery or something? Was your draft pick that low? Because they had a car from one of, like, the side characters in Fast and the Furious 2.
Oh, jeez.
They had the pink car, the pink S2000 that the Asian girl drove.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Which, I mean, it looked pretty cool. Like, it had, like, all the... And it was actually the legit cars that they used from one of the stunt scenes. Like, I guess she went over a bridge, and the car survived with some minor damage, and you could actually see it. They didn't restore it or anything. They just left it as is.
Okay. Gotcha.
But they have, like, a Porsche display. They have, like, race cars and street cars and stuff. They had a motorcycle, like, customization little display that's getting ready to be rotated out relatively soon. But that was kind of cool to see. They had one where it was, like, two of the same motorcycles that was customized by motorcycle gangs, one in U.S. and one in U.K. How they took the same thing and did something different with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going back again in March, and I'm going to get there. I'm going to do their, basically they have like a tour of their basement.
Oh, nice. Is it just like stuff that they don't normally, show?
Right. It's stuff that's more, they want to keep more protected from the general public. Cause like I was looking at one of the cars, and they have signs everywhere. Don't touch the cars or even the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at one of the cars, and like they had fingerprints on the mirrors. And I mentioned something to Jody, and the volunteer heard me, and he's like, oh my God. He's like, you won't believe how many people I have to tell not to open the car doors. And their defense was, well, I just wanted to look inside. I'm not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Don't open the car door.
Opening the car door counts as touching.
Yes. If you can open the car door without touching it, then yes, you can open the car door, but don't touch. No touchy.
Jeez.
Yes.
That'd be pretty interesting. That must be that'll be a fun trip in March then.
Yeah. So yeah. So like, and the thing is like they won't even let you bring like bags into it. Like they have a security like lockers so you can like check your stuff in, and then no photography allowed either down there.
Wow. Dang. Because you have to all wear like white with white gloves and everything.
Right.
You have to be strapped to something so that way you can't touch it. Open the car door, I mean.
You have your hands tied behind your back so you can't like sneak pictures.
Yeah.
But then after that, we made our way from LA down to Orange County to see a concert.
A concert? A rock concert?
A metal concert. With one of like the most interesting gimmick bands I've ever seen, Sean.
Oh boy.
The name of the band, Oakley Dokley.
Gotcha. What is this band about, man?
So basically every single member of the band dresses like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. They got the khaki pants. The pink button-up shirt, collar shirt with the green sweater over it with the mustaches and glasses.
Wow, that's pretty intense.
And, like, all of their songs are pretty much Ned Flanders lines from episodes of The Simpsons. So, like, if you look at their videos on YouTube, they have all the lyrics, and then they'll even tell you what season and what episode that line is referring, that song is referring to.
Jeez. That's ridiculous. And it's heavy metal.
It's metal, yeah. So the guy, like, he'll singing. Like, Jody's, like, she went along with me, and she loved it, actually, because, first of all, it was part concert hall, part bar slash restaurant.
Yeah.
So we were able to sit at a booth and watch the concert. So she was able to sit down, like, with her feet up. Like, she was like, relaxed.
Oh, nice.
So she didn't have to, and it was kind of near the, and we're in out of the way in the back. So she was like, able to sit down and able to see the show, hear the show, and then see the show on the monitors that were behind the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so she enjoyed it, but she was kind of making fun because basically, like, he'll be singing, and then at the end, like, go back to his Ned Flanders impersonation that he did the whole show while he was talking.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd be just like, the way she does it, he'd be like, rah, rah, rah. Thank you, Neighborinos.
That's pretty funny. Did Mac Sabbath open it up for them?
No, but that's the next band on my list of awesome gimmick bands that I want to go see.
I just like literally like pull it up and I'm like looking at similar artists, you know. I'm like, oh, that's funny. And then, you know, there's Clown Chord, there's some band I can't name, and then Rock Bitch. I'm like, what the hell is this? And it's like a mostly female metal band that's best known for performing nude and incorporating sexual acts and pagan rituals into their performance. I'm like, we went too far. The internet took me too far.
Yes, you fell off the edge there.
How did I go from Oakley Dokley to that? And
exactly.
The answer is heavy metal.
The answer is the internet. I just wanted to look up like how to make cake. Now I'm looking at incest porn. I don't understand.
True.
But yeah, so Mac Sabbath, their gimmick is that they all dress like all the characters from the McDonald's. So like the Hamburglar, Grimace, Ronald McDonald, and they do Black Sabbath covers.
That's pretty funny.
But the opening band, actually, for Oakley Dokley is this, they're both from Arizona, so it was another Arizona band called Playboy Man Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the internet, they're classified as being pop punk. But I guess that's just because the internet has to label everything.
Of course it does.
Like, I don't even know, like, how to describe them, but they were highly entertaining. They have so they're kind of more punk, a little bit heavier sometime for most of their songs to be necessarily pop punk, but then they also have a trumpet player and a saxophone player.
Oh, nice.
But they're tonight's their third night of a month-long tour.
Oh, wow. But
they're staying on the basically West Coast. Like, they're going out to, like, Texas, I think, is the furthest they're getting west, east.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's not too far outside of Arizona. I mean, you have to go through New Mexico, but that'll be 10 hours that they never get back.
Right. Yeah, so it looks like they're doing California. Like, they did San Diego, then Tustin, and then tonight they're in L.A., and then they're doing Riverside.
Oh, nice. At the On Fox Thursday. Theater?
What's that?
At the Fox Theater?
No, they're not that big. They're at the Romano's Concert Hall. So it's like a small little place.
Okay.
I've heard it's pretty cool. But and then after Thursday, they're going up to San Francisco, and then they're going to make their way up through Portland and then come back down around and go home again, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, I picked up all their CDs. I highly recommend at least checking out a little bit by both bands, Oakley to Oakley and Playboy Millionaire, Playboy Man Baby. They were pretty cool guys. Talked to them a little bit after the show. So I'm thinking I'm probably might be going to see them again on Thursday.
Okay.
That's how much fun I had.
You're gonna have a long day on Friday.
Yes. All work and no sleep make Danny angry boy.
Go home Friday afternoon and just pass out until Saturday morning.
Pretty much, yes.
Oh man.
So apparently there's drama when it comes to video games, Sean. Who would have thought?
No, not the video game world. Come on. Why is there more drama? Is it loot crates? Is it crazy conspiracy about women in video games? Like, what is it now?
Actually, no, it's not. It's about people not wanting to download another app on their computer, basically.
I will say, those fucking nerds, they are stuck on Steam. They do. Like, if it's not Steam, it's like Steam or bust.
Right. And so, like, recently, both Discord and Epic announced that they're going to come out with competing services to go against Steam. And the one thing with the Epic Store is that they said that they are going to give the game creators a bigger cut of the money that came in.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Steam takes, like, 30%.
Okay.
And so Epic was only going to take 18%. And so this Metro Exodus is supposed to be coming out on February 15th. And last week they announced that it's going to be exclusive for 1 year to the Epic Store.
Okay.
And their thing was, like, if you have pre-ordered it through Steam, we'll still honor the pre-order. But if you haven't, then either you have to wait or you can get it through the Epic Store. And their point thing was, like, well, because we're selling it through the Epic Store, we can sell it to you we're going to sell it for $10 less.
Hmm.
And of course, the internet's like, we don't care. It's not Steam. It's not Steam. And so they got review bombed on all their other games on Steam.
Yeah.
Negative reviews basically talk about how greedy they were, what pieces of shit they were, because they're not getting what they want.
Yeah.
And one of the developers came out and was like, well, yeah, but if we're going to have to deal with all this drama and the game doesn't sell very well, like, maybe we just won't put any of our games on PC anymore. We'll just go straight to console only. We'll be console exclusives.
That'll show those nerds.
Right. And so that just threw gasoline on the fire to the point where the distributing company came out and was like, no, those we don't agree with them. Those views do not reflect our official stance. That's just some guy, you know. He's had a rough day. He's a little tired. Like, just cut him some slack, guys. Like, ease off, man. Was pretty much their story. Like, yeah, come on, man. He's hungry, man. He gets a little grumpy when he's hungry.
They want that sweet, sweet cheddar. Let them have it.
Which is weird, though, because if they're reducing the game by 10%, are they really making much more money? Or is it just a matter of, like, Epic maybe gave them money up front because they needed a relatively decent-sized title
to help launch?
As an exclusive. Yeah, to help push their service.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just that's how the world is. I mean, come on. Of course, they're going to, like, push different things and try it. You have a new service that you want to be great. Yeah, you have to have a good service, but you need people to try it. And you might as well throw down to try to pull some customers.
Right, and it's not like Steam was that great in the beginning either. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there was a lot of issues with Steam, so everyone's like, but Steam is perfect. And it's like, yeah, but and they're like, Steam is perfect, this other service sucks. And it's like, well, give us some time, man. It's just starting. Like, I don't know. Competition's never bad, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad. I think it'd be good to have another game developer. Because I know with like Steam, like all your games on Steam, you have to be like basically almost hooked up to the internet to even play it. So it gets very frustrating to play Steam games.
Right. Well, I'm sure it'll be the same way with the other things because it's PC. It's PC. PC life forever, man. You gotta be connected to the internet, and you gotta have go through another service to play your games versus the console where you can just, I don't know, plug the disc in and play it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess we can't do them mods. That's the one argument I always get from people when I try to explain that consoles are better than PCs. Like, oh yeah, well, how many mods do you get? And then my reply is, well, my console has never crashed because of the shitty mod.
I'm sorry that you have to mod the game to have fun.
Right.
Maybe you should just expect more from the game companies.
Right. Or, like, do you really need to have, like, you know, your character in Red Dead or, like, Vitlaz in, like, New Vegas run around with bunny ears or whatever mods you want to put on it? Can you just play the game normal like a human being?
Yeah. Oh, like Skyrim is the most ridiculous modded game like ever. The fact that you can have like Thomas the Tank Engine like come after you is like beyond belief. Like, I don't know why people thought it was like a good idea.
Right. Well, because they just wanted to show you how much superior the game on PC is compared to console. Oh yeah, well, you've never been murdered by Thomas the Tank Engine, have you? Well, I guess you got me there. Sorry. Checkmate. but yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if it actually gets sales, because like I said, it comes out on the 15th, the day after Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
At least it's not the day before Valentine's Day, because then people might but then like one game that's already out but we're I guess not getting Resident Evil 2.
Yep. I know this. The remake just came out, and I think I played like a little bit of it way back in the day. I don't know for sure. Maybe it was one of the other ones. It is definitely a nail biting game where you're like slowly walking around, and you know zombies are popping out of nowhere. You know, you gotta shoot the zombie like 5 times in the head or like get lucky with a very, very hard critical shot to like put him down. You only get limited ammo.
Right, so a lot of the times, if you can, basically your option is to run to conserve ammo unless you have to fight. But the kind of like the way they did the demo for this was you got 30 minutes and that's it. You can do whatever you want, but you only have 30 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
And so I played it while Jody was – she was downstairs and she was in the kitchen making something.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was getting ready to bake something while I was playing it. And the whole time she was in the kitchen, I was walking around the police station part in the very beginning where it just looks normal. Like it's a police station.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where you have to crawl under a bay door where it goes from police station to like dark and just like everything – literally everything is just drowning in blood.
Yep.
And so – as she like comes in and sits down, I'm going under the door. She sits down, looks at the TV, and immediately gets back up and is like, nope, and goes back into the kitchen.
nope. Yeah.
But my
favorite part is where the zombies like rip the guy in half and you're like pulling him out from underneath one of the doors further ahead and he's just like spilling guts and you're just like, okay, this is what we're gonna do today.
Yes, this is what this game is doing to me, huh? But yeah, so, you know, I know some people talk about playing the game, like, put your headphones on and play it, like, in the dark, or at least at night.
No.
You know, I had my headphones on, and I played it during the day, and even then, and I love horror movies, but even then I was on edge. Just because there's, like, a couple parts where you'll be walking through, and it's like, oh, this isn't so bad, and then you hear like, a crash behind you, and something's coming through the window.
Yeah, I was, like, irritated with that. I was just like, ah, come on, get out of here. And then, like, I opened up, I was, like, checking lockers, and there's, like, a zombie that falls out of it. And I'm like, nothing is safe in this damn place.
Yeah, man, leave that zombie nerd alone, dude. You got shoved in the locker by the jock nerd zombies.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, so, like it starts off, and you see, like, the closed caption of one cop, and he's, like, running from zombies, and he's like, I'm over here, help me, I have a way to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you get to him just in time to get the way out, but not to save him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, I don't know how far you got. I got a little bit further than that before my time ran out.
Yeah, I got to, like, the third level, and I was trying to, like, I was able to get the shotgun. Did you get the shotgun?
No, I didn't get that far. But I was also kind of walking around and looking at things and calming my wife down.
Oh, I was just like, yep. And then my girlfriend's like, I want to get this game and play it. I'm like, you could do that. I don't want to hear about your nightmares, though.
Yes.
When you're trying to sleep.
Well, I guess on the plus side for her, you don't work nights anymore, so you'll be there. You're stuck there.
True. That is a fair point.
unlike your previous schedule where you worked overnight and be home alone in her nightmares.
True. I should probably get her to play. They need to remake Fatal Frame. I'll let her play that one.
Yes.
A little girl with a camera chasing ghosts.
It's like an adult version of Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, exactly.
Except no vacuum cleaner.
No. No, you do not.
But then another demo came out that the masses, the peasants actually got to play this last weekend, was the Anthem demo.
Oh, man. Anthem. The next large multiplayer franchise. It's interesting to think that BioWare and EA are now doing another massive, like, MMO RPG first-person shooter. You know, when I think of, like, all the Call of Duties, the Battlefields, we have Destiny, all the other stuff, and now we have this. It's pretty intense, and I think a lot of people just, like, really wrote it off as going to be, like, a shitty version of Destiny, better version of Destiny, however you want to argue the points. But it felt a lot different, and everything is so different that it's very hard to compare it to Destiny.
Right. Like, friend of the show, Man Thing, he kind of just did a little, like, he had just kind of jumped in and did some free world stuff, and he at first compared it to Destiny. But then I jumped on with him, and I'd already played ahead, but one of the cool features is like, if you're in a party, whoever's the party lead has access to the mission. So, like, if someone's ahead and they're the party lead, then everybody has access to all the missions that the party lead has.
Mm-hmm.
But if the party lead is someone just kind of starting, then they can only do the stuff at the beginning. But we kind of just did all the missions. Well, not all the missions, but I did the first couple missions with him, and at first he couldn't figure out how to fly, and it took me a little bit to figure out too, but then I just started pushing buttons.
Yeah, I definitely was, like, struggling. I was, like, I was being an idiot trying to jump up on rocks versus, like, flying around, and then as soon as I figured that out, I was like, oh, wow, this is a whole lot easier.
Right, and he compared it to actually Mass Effect Andromeda more than Destiny once he kind of got into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I tried to, for the demo, they had a link to where you could go to EA's page for the controls.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't load. It was just a white screen. So I'm like, all right, well, I went on the iPad that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to that same page, and it wouldn't load. It was just a white page. So I'm like, oh, okay. So they just want you to figure it the fuck out. Because I couldn't. The one thing I couldn't figure out was how to switch weapons.
Oh yeah, that one took me a while to figure out too. Did you ever figure it out?
I did it by accident. Actually, I was just like, I was trying to do something else because it was like the square button was both like the switch weapons button and also the interact button.
Yep.
And so I went to interact with something, and I guess I moved, and it switched weapons on me, and I'm like, oh, okay, so that's how you switch weapons.
But yeah, that was a pain in the ass to figure out too.
Right, but the demo started you at level 10, and at level 10 you started with one basically suit, and then at level 12 you unlocked one, and then 14 another one, or at like 12 you unlocked the second one, and then there's like a couple more that you unlock as you progress through the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess on the forums people were pissed because you didn't start with all the suits right away.
No, you didn't. But they did. If you already pre-ordered it and you had the VIP this weekend, you got all of them out of the gate. So, I mean, they definitely tried to boost. They tried to give like better stuff to the people that have already pre-ordered it.
Right, and well, in the week before they had the VIP only demo that was just a disaster shit show.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where they extended it by an extra day because there was all sorts of like load screen bugs and save game bugs and different things that people couldn't get into it or play it or whatever. But
yeah,
I guess by the time they got to the peasants, they fixed it.
For the most part.
Yeah, I didn't really notice anything. The only thing that Man Thing was talking about was like when he was doing it by himself, there was some frame drop on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I did like was you could set like for the missions, you can either go do them solo and set it private or like bring your own squad in kind of a thing, or you can set it to public and it'll automatically basically pug you up with a group.
Okay, so you could actually go in as by yourself then into the mission?
Yes. I didn't try it, but
I didn't realize there
was an option to change the privacy.
Okay. I was wondering that, if it just makes it to where people can't join you. Because I was really irritated that I was always, like, with people. Like, it was just kind of like, I just want to play this game, like, by myself. I want to, like, kind of explore a little bit, and like as soon as if you go off exploring a little bit, you got like a warning. It was like you're leaving the party, and then you get like teleported over there. So like you could not
like, well, when you're doing the missions explore like that. But they did have free play stuff too, where you can just kind of go out in the world and roam like Destiny does too.
Yeah, I probably should have done that at the end, but like the game did like crash on me a few times, so it was kind of irritating.
Oh, really? Because I did not have any. I played it two different times, and the first time I played it, I was pretty much on the game all day, but I wasn't necessarily playing it, and I didn't have any crash problems or anything like that. I didn't go all the way to like the max level because you're able to get up to 15, but I did complete the end demo story that they get all the story that they let you play.
Yeah, I finished the story, and I think I got to level 13. I think.
Okay. Yeah, because so 15 was the max. I got to like 14 and like and a half, or 14 and three quarters. I was pretty close to 15, but didn't quite get there.
Okay, what two mech suits did you get?
I got the first one, the like the Ranger or whatever, and then the Storm was the second one.
Oh, okay, so you ended up switching to Storm.
No, I know. I went out as one mission. And I didn't realize that they auto switched you when they gave you the Storm.
Oh, gotcha.
So I did Storm as one mission. It was kind of cool. It felt that was the only time where I really felt like this is like Destiny, because it felt like the Warlock class in Destiny.
Gotcha.
But when I got back, I went through and I was switched over back to the first mech suit when it was. And I was reading a thing and it was talking about and this is Man Thing agreed, whereas the combo more than just necessarily shooting the like setting up combos, you know, because like if you freeze an enemy and then you hit him with an attack that detonates the setup or whatever, it does way more damage. So because some of the enemies felt like bullet sponges before I realized that, and so it wasn't about shooting them, it's about setting them up, either with either having somebody set you up to set off the detonation of the attack, or somebody else, you're setting somebody else up, but the using the side attacks other than the guns was the main way to do, supposed to be the main way to do damage.
Yeah, no, I definitely noticed that pretty quickly. Like, I saw the combo, so whenever I ran with a storm, like, and I started seeing stuff freeze, I would just immediately drop what I was doing and start heading that way, and just, like, grenade, homing missile, super, like, whatever I could to, like, continue that team damage.
Right. So once I figured that out and learned how everything worked, it, going back through the second time, some of the missions was like a little bit easier. But it is a fun game. I told my analysis is that it's a Destiny but fun.
Wow. Is that what we're doing today?
That's exact. Well, that's what I was doing with Destiny before, but I didn't have anything fun to compare it to.
Anyway.
Just like flying in the suit was fun. The guns was fun, like the abilities. Mm-hmm. I felt like Iron Man, dude. Like even when she got like the character got into the suit.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, like I guess the extent of your character customization was you got to pick whether you wanted a male voice or a female voice.
Yeah. I wonder if there'll be more customization to it.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it because there seems to be no reason to see. There, you don't see your character. You only see the suit. So I guess that's where the customization comes in, is the mech suit or whatever they call it in the game. Yeah.
No, that's fair. I ended up getting the Juggernaut? The heavy tank.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. So it was a really fun class to play because you get a... you get a lot of, like, big weapons, big, slow, powerful weapons, but I did not feel like a bullet sponge. Like, I felt like it was easier to run around as the Ranger and stay alive and go into battles versus, like, the Juggernaut who's supposed to, like, crash into the party, is supposed to, like, aggro and take damage, like... could not take damage.
Okay, so, yeah, because I know people were talking about, before the demos, they were kind of trying to just, in discussions, talk about what classes they're going to play, and some people are saying that they're going to play the tank class, and that doesn't seem very much of a tank class if you're not able to take all the weapons away from your teammates.
Yeah, it felt really hard to stay alive. Like, I couldn't, like, it sucked. Like, that part really sucked because I thought like a lot of the guns and stuff was really fun because your super is like this big old mega cannon that you shoot, and even like your, instead of having a homing missile, you just had like this like really like heavy cannon that you would just charge up and just blast. So like it has like a lot of good powerful weapons, but like
You still couldn't take damage.
Yeah, because like the guy, and I'm super sold on like the Russian guy that's talking about it. He's just like, when you're outside the wall, you are the wall. Like I was just like, yeah, I just want to, I just want to stand there and just mow things down, and I want things to be afraid when I hit the floor. And it was not like that at all.
Right, you want to be like Reinhardt in Overwatch, where you know. If they got to take you out to take everybody else out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That kind of sucks. Because I saw that thing and I thought it would be like the Hulkbuster in a way where it just, like you said, just, you know, it could handle just small arms a lot better.
Yeah, because the other two classes just did not sound as fun to me. That's why I picked that one. Like, it just really felt like the Storm was going to be a really squishy character that had a lot of, like, powers that needed to, like, hide, and then the other one was just going to be, like, a quick attack person that's probably better for, like, scouting, escaping, and taking out, like, some of your scout enemies and people that are on the outside. Like, it felt like they were really specialized to, like, take care of that, and that didn't sound as fun to me.
Right, and more ranged attack, like maybe sniper rifles or long range, like a machine, like a... assault rifles or whatever, longer range.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, up close with shotguns.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought was really cool about the demo, though, was... but, well, it sucked until I figured out that it was cool, was when you were flying, the suit overheated pretty quick, and then you were forced to land.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like one of those like silly game mechanics, but I read it. One of the tips was that using the environment can help cool your suit, like flying under, like going underwater or flying under a waterfall.
Yeah.
But then, like, you land, you cross a river, and you're like up to your ankles in water, and it's like, oh, your suit's cooled down immediately, and it's like, well, I don't think that's how, you know, thermal things work, but I'm not going to argue with the game, I guess. My one foot is in the water. My whole suit cooled down immediately.
Yeah. I thought the guns were pretty good, though. I was rocking a scout, kind of like a pulse rifle to compare it to Destiny, like a three-shot.
Right.
And then I was running around with a shotgun, and it seemed to do really well for the Ranger. I'd jump in, like, throw a grenade, clear a few people, bounce off. You know, go back to a little bit more of that mid-distance shooting to keep myself protected. I thought that was a very good combo. Sniper rifle felt okay, but, like, again, like I was only able to kill anything with head. You had to get, like, headshots, and the game seems very, like, movie, so I imagine if people are really good at sniper rifles, they're going to be really dangerous in the game, but for somebody that's not, doesn't have, like, the most steadiest hand, like, I would say snipers were kind of, like, meh. And then there was, like, a heavy auto rifle that I think I picked up that was pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I ended up sticking with, I think it was, like, not the assault rifle, but the heavy rifle, or the assault, like, the, because they did more damage and more, just a little more fire or whatever. But then my second weapon was basically the equivalent of the hand cannon, the heavy pistol.
Okay.
Because they actually were doing more damage than the shotgun.
Oh, wow. That might be a flaw.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's going to be fixed, like, if they're going to increase the damage of the shotgun. Because it was, like, I had one, it was, like, the same level, and it was, like, eight or nine more damage than the shotgun.
Gotcha.
But then it was, like, super slow fire, though, too. It wasn't, like, an auto, like, even semi-auto, pretty much. It was a little bit slower fire, so it probably overall maybe more do more damage with the shotgun, but you had a little more range and more damage with the pistol.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, so I wasn't planning on getting the game, but I think I might now.
I don't know if I'm going to get it still. I'm still on the fence.
I know some of the people in our chat mentioned it.
Yeah. Because I know, like, on the Destiny clan that I'm playing with, like, there seems to at least be three people that are going to have it. I think it's going to come down to see, like, how many, like, is this going to be, like, an MMO grinding game? You know, like, how much, like, is this going to take a lot of hours?
Right.
I know it's, like, still kind of buggy, and it's going to still take some tweaking to get right as well.
Right. And I'm sure that they'll take the info, because they have about a month. They could, like, you know, even if the game's gone gold, where all the discs and whatever are printed and are being shipped, they can at least do a day one patch and fix some of those issues.
Yeah. I guess the only, this is, I think, my gripe about the game, because the game is fun to play, right?
Yes.
I just didn't feel like I got attached to anything, like, in the game. Like, I just didn't feel like it was, like, the story mission was very boring. Like, it's kind of an annoying character. They didn't really introduce you to any other characters as well. So it was kind of hard to get, like, kind of pulled in anyway.
Right. That was one of the things in the demo, was, like, you could go up and talk to all these NPCs, except you couldn't, because it was only it wasn't unlocked for the demo, but you could talk to them in the regular game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the area that I thought the area that you ran around in was kind of, like, very slow moving, and it was a very pain in the ass to get, like, to one side of the map to the other.
Right. Well, the first time I went through, I felt that way, but then once I kind of got, like, familiar with it and, like, learned how to control the flying and the heat, cooldown a little bit.
No, I meant, like, the not when you have the suit, like, your home base.
The home base?
Yeah, the home base. Yeah, the home base takes, like, forever to get around.
Right. Well, even then, like, I kind of, it's not very, it wasn't as big. It just, it was just kind of a weird layout because it was just the inside and the outside. But yeah, you couldn't, like, you can't sprint or even jump in there. So that was kind of weird. Like, you just had to walk at the walk pace.
Yeah. I don't know.
So yeah, that was a little frustrating, but yeah. I don't know. I think I'm going to get it.
What are you going to get it on?
Console? No. unless I want to pay more money, I'd get it on PlayStation because I'd have to buy Xbox Live. And I don't want to play with Gecko.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
He's a bitch.
I'll play with Mike or other people I know that have it on PlayStation.
I don't even think Mike's alive anymore.
No, he was playing something. The Division. He's been playing The Division.
Mm, what a bastard.
That's because the sequel's coming out soon.
Mm, fair enough. Fair enough.
So, oh man, another fun week, Sean.
Another salty week, Danny.
Isn't it really salty?
In a world of salt.
Exactly.
thank you everybody for listening to another fantastic episode. Hopefully, your Super Bowl weekend wasn't as salty as we had to talk about.
Exactly. Don't be salty like the Saints.
make sure that you guys subscribe and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, all those fun places. Give us 5 stars.
Yes. Give us reviews, please. It helps other people find us, because apparently if you're listening to us, then I guess you'd want to have somebody to talk to it about.
No, you don't.
Even if it's to make fun of us, you could be like, check out this podcast, dude. It's pretty shitty. And then you can make fun of us.
True.
And then lie about it and give us 5 stars, and then you can be happy that you lied to people and got them to listen to us.
Life goals.
Exactly. We'll give you something to do, man. We'll give you the opportunity to troll your friends.
True. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Next week, everybody.